Hey, everybody. Jake, the GM here. Just wanted to come to you real quick before this episode starts. Unfortunately, with some life stuff going on, John will be unable to play with us for the next few weeks. But to make sure you all have something to listen to, we wanted to do a little side thing for you. So I am actually stepping out from behind the GM screen, and Kelly is going to step in to run a little thing called March of the Dead. Kelly, please take it away.
Yeah, I'm behind the screen today.
Oh boy.
Y'all are in for it.
The rules lawyer becomes the rules judge.
Yeah, I think this lack of power is going to kill me.
And I'm merciless. I like dead PCs. Bloody tables. Gosh. Your feelings mean nothing to me.
Your attachment. This is actually all very accurate.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
Let's all start a 20-minute conversation. Or argument with Tim about something. And it's just don't keep going because he's the GM.
Oh, so he can just... wait. I'm on the player seat now, so now I can join in the argument too.
No. See, where you guys are mistaken is Kelly's just going to say, GM fiat. You know, he knows the code word.
Yeah, I'm just going to wave my hand and move on. When I wave my hand, that means you're wrong and you've lost.
Hey, Jed.
Who? What? Who? What? Jed?
Yeah.
What?
Jed, question. What do you think about the physics of a mace falling to the water?
Please, no.
I've listened to that episode, and it's rough.
You know no more about the physics of a mace than you did before.
I got nothing.
Jed is the fifth person in the chair for this show today.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome, Jed.
It's been way too long.
Mentioned a million times. The number one fan of the pod.
Yep. Former player of Sticky Business.
Yeah. Yep. If anybody hasn't seen Sticky Business on our DPS extras, and I think YouTube, right?
It's just YouTube.
Yeah, it's only on YouTube because that was a stream, so there was a visual aspect to that.
Not only that, but go look up if you really want to go find some vintage DPS, go check out the Pathfinder Society stream.
Oh, yes.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Torque the Orc.
Right on. Yeah, so, like Jake said, we are going to be playing a little short campaign that is located in the Pathfinder Book of the Dead that was released a couple of years ago. This book is awesome. It has just like it expands on all the necromancy in the world. It has a bunch of subclasses for like reanimator and stuff, a bunch of undead goodies, how to build liches and vampires and skeleton and zombie PCs. It's truly an awesome book. I love all the artwork in it, but it also came with a 3-part adventure. And it's pretty cool. And it got me thinking for a band. Or actually, it didn't get me thinking at all. But Jed immediately thought, let's do favorite zombie movies. What y'all thinking? Tim, I know you're a big zombie buff. Why don't you kick us off, dude?
There's a guy who knows zombie movies. Gore. Tim is the one.
Uh-huh.
I really just want to get Tim out of the way because Tim doesn't watch anything interesting except for, like, kid shows.
Hey. That's the last thing I watched. That's the thing. I don't really watch anything. Wait, I guess you're right, because it's on the background of kids' shows. Yep. So, my zombie movie... So, Kelly claims that I've seen one with it, but I don't remember it, so we're not going with that one. I don't need to mention it, just in case someone else does. But the one I for sure have watched is Slumber Party Panic. It's a vintage... Adventure Time episode. And it's about zombies. I don't want to spoil episode one of Adventure Time, but you know, all I will is my favorite quote is actually from Starchy, and I will do a live reenactment of that right now. So let me set the scene. So Princess Bubblegum and Finn were experimenting with some juice. I think they spilled the juice somewhere, and that's what vitalized a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And they go away. And previously to that, Starchy was requested to get a shovel. So Starchy comes back with a shovel, and that is where we pick up. So, see, Princess, it's me, Starchy the Gravedigger. I brought you a larger corpse shovel. Princess? Well, I'll just wait for you here then, by the mausoleum, with my back turned and my defenses lowered. And then Starchy gets bit. And then, you know, flesh is delicious to him.
Yeah, that's true.
Candy flesh, specifically candy.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, because he's candy zombie.
Right.
Canonically, zombies, you're only a cannibal for what you were before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that honestly, like, wait, I think Finn was attacked, though. Well, let's not think about this too much. Moving on. Favorite zombie movie.
I think we can spend another 5 minutes on Adventure Time lore, though.
The show is basically only lore.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it, but like at the bottom of the episode description, because I was looking it up to make sure I got the quote exact, because I remember the last half, there are cross-references to that episode, like in like season 5 or something.
Yeah, there are. Like, yeah.
It's crazy how deep the lore is.
You know what's also crazy? That episode came out 15 years ago.
Oh, damn. I don't like that.
Oh, no.
I don't like that at all.
So, have fun with that.
Mark, keep your facts to yourself.
Because I was thinking that. I was like, when did that episode... Oh, my God, I was still in college.
I'm just glad that Tim did a no-spoilers reveal of his favorite zombie episode. 15 years later.
15 years.
Or a 10-minute episode.
Oh, my God. All right, so I'll go here. This movie is how I'm going to take the vibe of this, Kel, so I hope you're okay with that. Shaun of the Dead.
Yep.
Man.
It's still a good zombie movie.
Yep.
Movie just stands the test of time.
Yep.
It really does. It really does. There's nothing I would think about more of when something happens. I'm like, maybe I can go to a pub.
It all blows over.
Oh, you know what? I have seen this one.
It's legendary.
Yeah.
I feel like one of my favorite scenes is where they're throwing the records
at
the zombies like, walking toward him.
And they're arguing over which ones they can throw. Yeah.
No, not that one.
It's shambling towards them in the backyard, and they just like open the shed and start throwing things at them.
Right. Throwing records. It's so freaking funny.
Oh my gosh.
And the iconic shovel and cricket bat.
Cricket bat, yeah. I mean, God, there's so many quotable things to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Simon Pegg and anything, obviously.
Oh, no, hold on a second. Were these the two that did the one where they were in that village and they found out a big bushy beard?
That's part of the same director, same actors. Yeah.
I saw that.
You're thinking of Hot Fuzz.
I'm thinking Hot Fuzz.
Yep.
Okay, nope, never saw Shaun of the Dead. Never mind.
If you like Hot Fuzz, you'll like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Edgar Wright's epic trilogy.
Yes.
The Cornetto trilogy, as it's called.
The Cornetto, because you got that Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and World's End.
World's End. Yep.
Yeah.
All good films.
Oh, so, I'm just looking through the slew of zombie movies that I've seen over the years, like starting off of, like, you know, Day of the Dead and all that stuff. Like,
oh, yeah, classic.
But, speaking of the vintage classics. Honestly, one I'm going to bring up that it just cracks me up because I recently just rewatched the movie, but I guess you would consider it part zombies because there were zombies in it, was Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods.
I love that movie.
Cabin in the Woods, because there were zombies in there, and the whole, it's like such a dark comedy how that whole movie goes, but it just, and again, once again, I watched it recently, so I'm like, oh, it's fresh in my mind right now. But it was like, the contest going on throughout the entire thing. And they're like, oh, zombies. They're like, ah, no, sorry. It was reanimated rednecks or something like that. And they're like, ah, sorry, you don't win it.
Missed it by that much.
But honestly, like, if I want to go something actually zombie movie that I remember distinctly as that blew my mind as a kid was the terrible, awesome movie Resident Evil. Like, the first Resident Evil movie. I remember renting
that. I have a soft
spot
for those movies. They're just good. They're just fun.
Because it was actually creepy, because I remember playing the Resident Evil game when it first came out and all that stuff. But the movie itself, I was like, I don't know who the hell these characters are. Like, that's not from the game. Like, what the fuck?
Where's Leon?
Yeah, where's Leon? Where, you know, shit like that.
Chris?
Still...
Bill?
But still, the idea of being trapped in this, like, underground facility with all these zombies, though, it actually, like, freaked me out as a kid. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shit, because, like, you would get cornered, and you would see these people getting absolutely decimated. But still, fantastic.
Yeah, I always thought those were good. If they didn't have the Resident Evil name on them, like, there's a lot to be said, but, like, they put them on there, and I'm like...
They were like, T-Virus,
yeah. Right, yeah, but I'm like, where's the Tyrants, and, like, there's mm-hmm. a lot of names they could have used, but...
The second movie had, like, what was his name? You had the Lickers, which were, mm-hmm. like, those weird, mutant creatures with the brain exposed,
and yeah.
then you had... Yeah. Nemesis was in the second
one. Yeah.
Yeah, he was, like, mutated and all that stuff.
Right.
So, when it comes to my choice, I'm sitting here for, like, the entire time trying to decide what movie to go with, and I'm just going to throw a whole wrench in the mix. I could talk about one of the only Zack Snyder films that is beloved to me, personally, which is the Dawn of the Dead remake they made. In the early 2000s. Great zombie flick.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, shit, the intro to that, was that the Johnny Cash one?
Johnny Cash intro is goated.
Oh, fuck, that's so good.
So good.
That's such a good
I could
intro.
talk about other intros, 28 Days Later. Great film.
Oh, 28 great Weeks open. Later.
28 Weeks Later, also good. What I'm really going to talk about here, which I could talk about for days, is actually a movie that I despise, but a book that I love, which is World War Z. I could talk about World War Z until I was blue in the face. It is a awesome zombie book, but also a great geopolitics book. Like, it is so cool because it's basically a war journalist going around the world interviewing people and getting their personal stories about how they survived the zombie apocalypse, because it's a post-war documentary. And you get some of the coolest things in there. Like, they got, like, they, like, interview people who fought in, like, the catacombs in France because everyone went underground when everything hit the fan, and then the zombies got in the tunnels. And, like, it's, like, it just, it's all sorts of cool stories. They have, like, they interview, like, a diver who's still killing zombies today in the ocean, like, a deep sea diver. Like, there's, like, it's just, there's so many cool stories that they tell. And the audiobook has a... I gotta pull up the voice actors for the audiobook for World War Z, because
books need to, I think they need to be turned into a show. I feel like
it needs to be an HBO. Yeah,
I feel like it will translate to a show a lot better than a movie,
because the movie did not.
I enjoyed the movie, but I know it wasn't. It wasn't anything like the books.
It was good for what it was,
right?
But, like, it there were just so many better.
The scene when they're, like, escaping New York is, like, really fun, when, like, the whole city's, like, changing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy that movie, but I know, like, the books, it doesn't do justice.
Ugh, I'm trying to find the cast for the audiobook, because it's got, like, Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill
voices this, like, you know, army guy who was basically there the first time the army got their ass kicked by the zombies, basically, and scared everyone half to death. And then, like, also follows him, like, throughout the entire war, which is so neat. You get, like, three sections. One at the beginning of the war, one smack in the middle, and one at the very end of the war, from his perspective. And he's like, he comes back three times in the book, and every time he shows up, I'm like, yes, he's back!
I love Mark Hamill, because he's, like, one of the most iconic characters in all of movie history. And then he's had, like, this entire other career where he's one of the greatest voice actors of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's just such a cool actor. We mentioned 28 Days Later. That's probably my all-time favorite zombie movie. It's right up there with Shaun of the Dead and Zombieland. I really like those two. Mm. I think, what was the other one I was thinking of? I can't remember the other one, but the one that I really enjoy that I don't think a lot of people have seen came out a few years ago, and it's called Overlord. Did anybody see that?
I've heard of it. Didn't see it.
So it was a movie that took place in World War II, and it was they sent in an airborne division behind enemy lines to, like, sabotage Nazi locations. And this one follows a group that's taking out a science lab in a church. So they're dropped behind enemy lines into this like village, and they get there and they realize that the Nazis have developed this like superhuman zombie serum that like turns people really quickly into like very powerful and also like still intelligent zombies, but they're like,
oh,
but they're like berserk as well. Right, so they're like, it's a really, really cool film, and I really enjoy it. It's very intense. It's very bloody. Good one. I recommend it. I don't think many people saw it. It flew under the radar, but it was really good.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know much about this one.
And I love World War II films, so I know this is right up Jed's alley. and yeah, it's super duper cool. I highly recommend.
Awesome. Look that one up.
But I think I'm gonna get us started. So I want to open with a scene. So,
oh shit.
Camera descends down into this valley. There's like a light rain. It's like pretty cold. It's not like winter cold, but you know, it's like a chill in the air, like 50s. And you see three cloaked figures approaching a small town in a valley. And they're weaving down this valley trail, trudging along in this light rain that's going on. Can't see any of their faces. And as they finally get down this trail and approach the town, a rider comes out to them. He goes, "Hold right there. What business you have?" And one of the hooded figures looks up, and it's like this pretty normal looking dude, a little pale, just kind of looks like a nothing traveler. And he's just, My fellow companions here are cold and hungry. We wish to take shelter from the rain in your town. Do you have an inn or a tavern that we could stay at?" And the rider, who's clearly like a guard, says, "Sorry, the town's closed by order of Mayor Grump. Been dangerous folk around here lately. We're not admitting anybody that we don't already know. And if you don't know me, then you're a stranger here. Sorry for your misfortune, but you can follow the. I'll allow you to pass through town. You can continue down through the valley, and you can perhaps find another village along your way in Belkson. But sorry, the inn is not taking any people in, and the townsfolk have been instructed to let passerbys go through the town." And the guy kind of like argues for a little bit, but it doesn't really press too hard. We're cold, we're hungry, and the guard's just, he's not having, he's like, this is orders. We're here for safety. There's a lot of danger out to the east, and we have to make sure our town stays safe until events change." Eventually, the travelers relent, and they do pass through the town, and they go through. The town's a pretty sleepy town, a couple dozen houses, and eventually they leave the sight of the guard, who just kind of goes back to his patrol. From there, we come up on a different town, a bigger town. Not huge, but a large farming village called Trunau. And for any Glass Cannon podcast listeners, Trunau was their original starting point in Giant Slayer. So a familiar adventuring town. But anybody who doesn't know of Trunau, it's a small farming community, mostly comprised of humans in the holds of Belkson. A little fun history about this town is that when orcs were invading the holds of Belkson, the citizens of this town actually rose up and built walls and defended this place and were not driven out by the orcs. So unlike a lot of the other farming towns in the area, which were sacked, Trunau held strong, and then it kind of grew into this nice little country village that can kind of take care of itself. Not again, it's not a huge town. It's under 1,000 people, but it does have walls. It does have defenses, and it's a good like outpost that people go to. And that's where all of you are. You're in the nice farming village of Trunau. And you have all been summoned by someone you know, Councilwoman Agrit Stagansdar. And she summoned you to the House of Wonder, which is her shop in Trunau. And what you know Agrit is a dwarven wizard, and she is a councilwoman. And all of you probably have other backgrounds with her, and that's why she assembled you. So you all meet up at the House of Wonder and knock on the door, and she opens up and she goes, "Oh, please come in. Please come in. I have something urgent for you all. Would you like some tea? Coffee?"
So Corbinian, a halfling with a shock of red hair that is tightly braided. And you see the sides of his head are shaved, so he's got like the hair on top, the long braid that goes down his back, and you see that he has a geometric tattoo in the back of his head. He has a, looks to be some sort of buckler. It is actually called a rondosh. It serves a similar purpose as a buckler. He has a wicked-looking dagger on his side that looks to be very ceremonial in nature. And he, looking around at maybe his timid companions, maybe not timid, but he speaks up. "Yes, I could do for some tea. The road has made me quite weary."
Right away. And so she does some magic, and actually the pot on the stove starts to heat up, and she goes over and starts getting you a tea together. Anybody else? She points towards Jed's character.
Yeah. And you see a very heavy set dwarf who is it's standing in the doorway kind of listening and kind of he's standing off to the side and not really saying much, but he's a heavy-set dwarf with a large prosthetic arm that is covered in runes. He's carrying a shield on his back and a spear, but he kind of ducks into the doorway, kind of so his spear doesn't hit the top of the door frame. He says, "I don't think I'll have any tea, but I'll hear out whatever's going on here."
And for you, Theron?
And Theron, he is also a dwarf, but not as heavyset as Jed's character. He's actually slightly slimmer, like almost built. He's wearing leather armor and has a shield with mace on his hip. And his striking thing, obvious, with the beard and long corded hair. But he has these kind of like a tattoos underneath his eyes, kind of like in stripes, and his face is slightly more ashy, I would say. Like, it kind of has a darker tinge to it in some ways. And yes, and he will clamber through. Pass me. "Yes, I would love to have some coffee, if you wouldn't mind."
And she starts making your mug. And Edmund, I take you for a tea fellow.
Edmund is a very clearly a wizard. He has a big old wizard hat and a long robe. He's only like early to mid 20s, but his hair is like white. And you can tell it's from stress because he looks stressed out like all the time. He's got like a cigarette in his fingers, and he's been like puffing on it. He hasn't, like, he's inside. Like, he hasn't had the decency to like flick the cigarette out. And he's like directly behind a grit when she's like brewing this, and he's like, "Yeah, if you could like double brew that, Could you, like, his hand's, like, shaking.
She puts, like, three big tablespoons of the tea leaves in there.
Oh.
And she grabs a little vial from the cupboard above the stove, has like this little bit of dust in it, and she pours a little bit in. A little extra kick for you.
He just thanks.
Just like, and then, pure distilled caffeine. She's a wizard, so you know she just makes shit.
Well, yeah. What's the cocaine equivalent in Galarian? Is that like Pesh or something?
Right.
Oh yeah, is it Pesh? Yeah.
I can't remember if it is or not, but it was just.
I have to say, Egret, when your parents informed me of your arcane studies, I did not expect to see it so advanced. This is quite impressive.
Oh, you talked to my parents. I'm surprised they even mentioned me.
Well, yes, that is my connection, of course.
Well, if you ever see them again, tell them I said hi. They don't usually accept mail from me.
Whoa.
Anyway, you're probably wondering why I brought you here. She hands out all your coffees. She puts some biscuits and some bacon on the table because she thinks the half iron looks a little hungry.
he's like very quiet, but tummy. As everyone's talking at appropriate times, he reaches across the table and grabs something. Yeah. Off
is he seated at the farthest chair? Yeah, and has to awkwardly reach. Yeah.
He's with his spear that he didn't leave by the door.
It's like Theron's just kind of like sipping his coffee, just his eyes watching him each time, and just not saying anything. He's just like, oh. This is how this is going.
Alright. Well, sadly, I need to get down to business. There's been an incident down in southern Belkson, I'm afraid. I don't have any real details about it, other than my connection with my friend, Jakra. Some years ago, there was a bandit raid, and Jakra helped me. Helped me to get out of there, and we moved to Trunau. We had a passion for the arcane together, and we did a lot of studying. She worked with me in my shop for quite some time. But sadly, she moved eventually. She moved down to this sleepy village in a valley called Fiorona's Faith. We have kept correspondence. She has always exchanged recipes with me, and you know, she even has one of my spell books. But yes, we send letters frequently, and everything seems to be fine. And this town is just on the border of the Holds of Belkson and what used to be Lastwall. And as you know, Lastwall has fallen to the undead, to the Whispering Tyrant, and Fiorna's Faith didn't see the wrath of the undead, but. I got a troubling letter, my last one that I got from her. It read, "I must be brief. Something terrible has happened in Fiorna's Faith. Folks have been disappearing, and I fear that I'm..." And it's ripped. And then she shows it to you, and it's actually bloody as well. Oof. This message. It arrived at my window by her raven familiar, Cole, and she points over to the windowsill, and there's a raven sitting there. Cole has always been the one who's delivered our messages, and he won't fly back right now. I don't want him to, but he seems to be, usually he's eager to leave, and right now he's hunkering in. This was a couple of days ago, and I have heard nothing else, and, I really need someone to go investigate Fiorna's Faith and see what has happened down there. I fear that the town could be in trouble. Additionally, if you... Actually, she opens up to you if you accept this mission. If it's too much trouble, I can summon the council and we can organize a more formal... a more formal group to go down there, maybe send a small battalion of guards.
I think we can do it. You see half yards in the back, like, chewing on a piece of celery.
and when he puts a cigarette in it in his mouth, and he's like, holding it there while he's, like, ruffling through his bag. And he pulls out a piece of paper, and he's like, if you could just, like, write it down here, and you can see it's a letter of recommendation. He's like, if you just write that down there. I really, really need some references here. If you could just do that.
Of course, Edmund. I know you well enough. I know you're a hard worker. Even if a bit erratic sometimes, but it's okay. She signs it.
You see?
Edmund's a very good boy. Great with magic. Watch his consumption.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you can see that Corbidian, like, his body language, you know, accepting of the tea, but, like, very, like, internal to himself, arms crossed. But the moment that you mentioned, you know, the whole, you know, last wall, undead, how that was kind of, like, the direction it was going, he went from closed off to a little over-eager, and he almost looks like he's, like, salivating, and he's like, yes, 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 we'll do it, yeah, yeah, I think.
Do you wear your faith sigil on any of your garments or shield or anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely on the shield. You can see there's a pendant around his neck. So
the swirl of Phrasma.
The swirl of Phrasma is very evident.
Yeah, so sure you hear undead and your ears perk right the fuck up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Same with Theron. He kind of, like, as soon as the mention of undead comes up, it's kind of like his fist kind of clenches for a second, because he's, like, his markings, and maybe Half-Yarn might notice, or the markings of, like, Dorvish lineage, that he is a tomb keeper.
Okay.
And so he is kind of unsettled by undead. Like, he was there to deal with things, but he is a actually, what is the title for it? I think it is a Death Warden. So anything related to undead kind of agitates him to a point of must be put down.
Not to piggyback off everybody too much as well, but once as with Half Yarn as well, when you started mentioning undead, you kind of start noticing that he's definitely a little more intrigued than before.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, you all have presumably been in the Holds of Belkzen for in recent years, and you are very well aware of how Last Wall has fallen, and you've heard the grisly tales that are coming out of there of people who have escaped. I mean, Trunau probably holds, you know, dozens of refugees, as well as many of the other larger cities in Belkzen and surrounding areas have had people who have been fleeing the terror that's happening there. She continues on. She's like, I knew I could count on you. Officially, the council would like you to investigate the town, see if you can locate Mayor Hallrith Grubb. The word was that he shut the town down not too long ago, several weeks maybe, and was not allowing any more people to come into the town and stay. They essentially were quarantining to make sure the town wouldn't be infiltrated by unknown forces. It's probably why the town, as close as it is to Last Wall, has managed to stay safe. But we've had refugees coming from those directions for months. Personally, I would really like it if you could try to locate Jakra. She is a very close personal friend of mine, and also she has a very important spellbook of mine. I know that's not the most important thing here, but I would prefer if it didn't fall into ill hands, whether you can find her or not. If the worst is to happen, perhaps you could rummage through her belongings, maybe as was left behind. But it is personally valuable to me.
What sort of spells are in this spellbook of hers?
Oh, it's more a book on arcane theories. I mean, there's lots of the usual spells, but a lot of it is experimental and theoretical, arcane. It does have some pretty interesting spells, and I don't know if you're quite the level for
it. It just starts packing another cigarette.
it's a bit advanced from what I know about your studies, but. Feel free to rifle through it. Nothing in it is a secret. It's just important to me.
That's what everybody says. Okay.
Don't tell me I can't do fifth level magic.
I can fucking cast this. I swear I can. Smokes the scroll or something.
I'm a bit concerned about that because you see, experimental magic. You say if it falls into the wrong hands. It'd be nice to know that if it did fall into the wrong hands, what we'd be up against.
She assures you that it's a lot of it is written in like code. It's not like something that's dangerous. It's more just like a journal of her arcane studies through the years.
Okay.
A lot of the like she said, it's not like heavy on spells per se. It does have spells in it. It's nothing dangerous. It's more just kind of her life's work, and she communicated with Jacques frequently and at one point sent her this book and never received it back.
Gotcha. So it's not like how to become a lich in three steps.
No.
Okay.
Unless a grid
is... five easy steps.
Unless a grid is...
four will surprise you.
Unless she is really good at hiding that she's deep into high-level necromancy, you think a grid is on the up and up and whatever scenario is probably fine. You're probably bored.
Yeah, and full 15 lich? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, the reason why Edmund was asking too was that, like, if there is some, like, magic in here that we could, like, look for, like, in the area, if somebody's, like, using the spell book in some way, then, like, maybe it would indicate, you know, clues that we could keep an eye out for. Okay.
So she doesn't seem like the, you know, heard of the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise kind of type.
It's just a little bit of vampiric touch, don't worry about it.
So she doesn't have much more to tell you other than that it is a 3-day march from Trunau.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God, we're all
almost
short.
Almost said the title.
March. Oh,
yep.
Derp.
It's a 3-day march of the dead.
3-day march of the dead.
I feel like you're dead at the end of it.
It is through the wilderness. There's trails, but it's not like a road to Fiorna's Faith. So she kind of marks it on one of your maps. It's like, you know, you gotta find your way there. There's a valley that you'll have to descend into, and then the town is also founded on a natural spring.
Good. Oh, cool.
Oh, neat. Yeah,
it's kind of why the town is there.
Yeah.
Cool. Makes sense.
You guys have plenty of time to get any supplies. I think you guys already did all your shopping, so you're probably set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless now you want to get new things.
I think just like maybe like adventuring gear. So I know that like I personally got the adventurer's pack.
Yeah,
it comes with like classic 7 rations, torch, bedroll, soap, flint and steel, chalk, water skin, rope. I mean the rations and stuff like that are pretty much carry. You know, if we've bought one of those, then we should be
good. Oh yeah. I mean, we can afford that easy. I think they're only like 15 silver pieces. If that,
yeah, it's so. pretty darn cheap. So if there's anything else, I mean, are there horses that we could take to try to like, you know, turn that into a 2-day deal?
Man, that, you know, that's just gonna turn into some zombie horses having to fight later.
Zombie horse.
Look, if I need to put down Buttercup later, I can do that.
I actually do want to know: does anyone have any leftover starting gold? I have one.
I got 5.8.
Okay.
Yeah, like 3 of that.
I wonder if we should pick up a couple anti-plagues.
I can do that. I got coin. Anti-plague lessers?
Let's just have, yeah,
how
yeah.
Many, how, three bad. GP apiece? I'll get one for each of us.
All right,
perfect. Hey, look at that. Oh, wow.
I have leftover funds.
Man of the people.
I'm going to have to start us a treasure sheet.
Actually, everybody that. Put that on your list.
Oh, yeah, just put it in our gear.
Just put it on your gear. Put one in there. I'll keep one for myself.
Anti-plague.
It's alchemical.
Yeah, is it lesser?
Or I have lesser. Lesser.
Yeah.
Come on, moderate's only level 6.
It's only 35 gold.
If we pull our money together, we can get one really, really good potion.
One of us would be totally fine. Mess with zombies, but you know, right. One of us is fine.
As long as one is there to carry the message. They all died and became zombies, Ken.
They'll see you real soon.
Imagine we all go down. One of us comes back, not a zombie. We go, lots of zombies that way, and just leave.
y'all better get moving.
Oh yeah, here's your zombies. Book.
Here's your book. Wave of zombies coming over. They want the book, by the way.
I was just thinking of Edmund, like with his cigarettes. I'm like, man, you haven't invested in like a perpetual cigarette, like a magical cigarette that just relights itself, like regrows, comes back.
Kelly, how much money do I need to invest in a permanent, ever-burning cigarette?
I think it's 60 gold, because it'd be prestidigitation at the very
Done.
Least.
God.
Done. You need materials.
All right, well, our main campaign has a prestidigitation cloak, and you have a prestidigitation cigarette.
Sweet.
That's all you want.
I guess this is what we do now.
It's just our thing. You can't deviate from what works, you know?
Anywho, so you want to rent some horses?
Yeah, if we could.
Okay. You can rent some horses, or you can buy horses. Buying a horse is 2 gold. Renting a horse is 8 silver.
Oh,
it's like 8 silver, and then it's like...
What happens if they die? Is it
1 silver for every day every day of rental?
No, then we come back and say we were heroes, and unfortunately the horse said he sacrificed.
And then when they die, you're just like, what? Are you really going to have the heroes pay for the horses?
When you're going to rent the horse, he hands you an agreement, but it's like 10 pages long.
Oh, gosh.
I scroll all the way to the bottom and just sign it.
Your eyes briefly go over daily interest rates and horse termination payments. But you just ignore all of that. You don't look at any of the numbers or the percentages or the gold / platinum amounts.
I think horse termination. What was it? Horse termination.
Horse termination payments.
Yeah, that's the first time sentence right there.
Everyone's picking out their horses, and Corbinian tries to find the oldest, most decrepit looking horse, and that's the one he chooses.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. All right, these horses will probably knock a day off your journey, given that you're going through the wilderness.
Oh yeah.
All right. Okay. So we'll. We pick out our horses and
horses.
Mostly Corbin's horses.
Corbin's horse is limping out of the stable.
Oh, no,
it's dying.
One of its legs is shorter than the other three.
Oh no!
I was about to say all of us are short except on Edmund. So
yeah, the rest of us got to be on ponies.
Yeah, well, I'll say ponies would be safer.
Wait, is Jake just Gandalf? Like, what's going on here?
Oh my god, he is. I'm Gandalf if he didn't care.
Gandalf if he was more neurotic and just a change.
Really self-centered, just real stressed out all the time.
Gandalf if he smoked cigarettes instead of that awesome wizard pipe he had.
You know? All I'm getting is him reading the Elvish on the ring and going, oh, fuck.
God damn it.
Shit.
Oh, no. My boss is going to be... Saruman's going to be so pissed.
I got to make a meeting. So, let me get the vibe of this guy. I mean, you guys already got it, but, like... So, pretty much this wizard is the...
I put it in chat when we were discussing, but he's a wizard that's stuck in the equivalent of lower management or of his wizarding career. And so like his boss can't do anything, and then the archmage above him just like won't die. And so he's just stuck in this position where he's just like, fucking shit, man. God fucking like that's just him all the time.
He's always on coffee runs.
Yeah, right.
Oh gosh. All right, guys take off from Trunau on your horses, which will cut a day off your trip. You head off in the wilderness south out of town, and you are heading for a small area, a small valley, somewhere to the west of formerly the Last Wall, currently the Gravelands, and north of near Mathassa's border. So as you're going through, you're relatively unmolested. There, you'll find some like old decrepit like hunting cabins, real small single rooms, some old barns that have been long abandoned, probably from the days of orcs raiding. On your second day, you start to come across some barn houses and cabins that look more recently abandoned. You guys, you know, ride by them, or maybe you poke your heads in. You know, there's overripe crops. Some have, you know, food that's left behind that someone should have taken, just like left out and is rotting. You don't see any bodies. You don't see any disturbance. It looks like someone was just like, I'm out of here, and I left, and then left. On the beginning of your third day, you feel like you're getting pretty close, or the beginning of your second day. Sorry,
second
day off. Through this time, it's been starting to get a little more cloudy. It's getting a little more cold. You've been running into more like fog and mist. Nothing too bad, but it's getting a little bleh. And, Tim, can we get some, like, wilderness music or something a little less happy true now? Because, it's starting to get a little, you guys are trudging through basically the wilderness and woods. It's tiring, especially as it gets colder. You're getting, like, damp from the mist. And, so actually, this will be the beginning of your second day. So after you've gone through, seen a lot of these barn houses and abandoned hunting lodges, you come across yet another barn house. And the trail kind of like comes up to the barn house and then kind of starts to wind away. And as you get to the bend, everybody roll me a perception check.
Perception. Also, personally, I love that type of weather, though. Like a cold mist.
It's real honestly, uncomfortable.
I said I love it.
Yeah, I know.
But it's actually just because of the fucking weather. You're saying. But,
That's true. It's been very, very hot.
Yeah.
Edmund got a 12, so...
Half Yarn got a 22.
Oh, I got 22 as well.
See, those are good numbers.
You just have to roll good, Jake.
Dang, 27.
Oh, ooh. Shit. Okay.
Man, you two suck.
Okay, so everybody, as you're going around this bend and you're starting to, like, you've seen enough of these barns that you haven't even probably looked in the last couple because you're like, they're just abandoned. So you turn around this bend that comes up pretty close to the barn, and... everybody but Edmund smells something somewhat foul on the air as like a slight breeze kicks up, and you can tell that it's clearly coming from this barn house. And you haven't smelled anything like this from anywhere else, and so what smell do you
want? Oi, are you all smelling that?
Yes.
Edmund sticks his nose, holds the cigarette away from his face.
I was about to say, that's the reason he couldn't smell it, because all he smelled was cigarettes.
Yeah, a cigarette in my mouth.
It stings the nostrils.
It's quite pungent. Unfortunately, it smells a bit maybe familiar.
Hathiar will slide off of his horse. He can't really jump off his horse with his weight.
He falls off like Gimli.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Quickly scrambles to his feet.
Yeah, like you said, like it smells stinky. Like, you know, Corbinian is quite acquainted with the smell of death. Like, does it smell like death?
With your check, you definitely are like, something's dead in that barnhouse. Uh-huh. Something's dead. You can tell from the path that there is probably a pen or something behind the house. This seems to be coming from the house itself. And from the road that you guys are on, there appears to be a door on the... There's two doors face on the wall facing you. One is kind of up towards the north, and one is down kind of on the south wall.
Okay, I raise my hand real quick, and I'm like, I can detect magic to see if there's anything lurking in there. You know, might give us an idea of what might be waiting for us, if anything.
Half Yarn will unsling his shield and pull out his spear and say, "I'll go with you. Keep you safe."
Yes, same here. And he undoes. He has his mace in his hand, and he actually flicks his left hand, and it's kind of like anyone close to him feels like this gentle warmth, but also like the earth is also rumbling around him slightly.
Interesting.
Yeah, when Corbinian draws out like that wicked dagger that you saw on his side, it almost feels like there's like whispers coming off of it or something. As he raises his rondosh, he's like, "Let's go."
So, there's a door to the north, and there's a northern door, and there's a southern door.
Let's go to the northern door first, and like I said, I'm just detecting magic the whole time. Okay. So,
as you approach the barn, you do not detect any magic.
Okay. Let everybody know, like, all right, not sensing anything in there, but still be careful. We don't know what might be hiding.
Yes. All right. Half Yarn will kind of stack up on the door first with his shield out and stretched in front of him. And as you guys kind of see that, you see his shield is covered in runes, just all over. And they're not like your standard runes you would normally see. They're kind of like traced on there with like white chalk, you know.
And again, he snaps his fingers again, and you see part of the earth start forming around him into something called armor in earth.
Cool.
And he literally gets stone armor that encompasses his body.
Sick.
Acts as nice AC bonus, plus at this level, at third level, it now has bulwark.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Oh, cool. Nice.
No, it's like... It lasts for like 10 minutes, but it's a neat thing for my class, which the stone's armor is like, you know, blah blah and all that. It basically replaces whatever I'm wearing right now. But in this case, he has no idea what's here. He wants his AC up. So,
yeah, so is everyone wielding weapons then?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a spear.
I guess not Edmund, right?
Nope, and Edmund has his hands up for somatic components.
Okay. So those of us who have weapons, Corbinian will speak. Before we go in, gather close. And you see that he, you know, he kind of holds the dagger out in front and like, do as I do. And you hold out your weapons kind of on the palms of your hands, and you see him like whispering in a dark language, so those of you who know Necrol would recognize it. And you see that your weapon begins to glow. And he says, "I've infused our weapons with vitality. So if there's anything in there,
does not like the infusion of life will be better prepared. And mechanically, your weapon strikes will deal an extra 1d4 vitality damage.
Sweet.
Ah, cool.
Corbinian, since your perception was critical success, you can tell that the foul smell seems to be coming from more from the northern door.
Okay. All right, so let's gather around the northern door. So tanky boys up front and all.
I was about to say, me and Jed probably have the highest AC.
Yeah, I would say, I'm sorry, I'm trying to move my guy, but I'm moving everybody's for some reason.
Yeah, you have to use drag and try to just Jed's capture your guy. And
try not to. Go away.
Like, you know how, like, on computer you can kind of create a box?
Oh, I see. So just create a box. I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, yeah. Half Yarn kind of rolls up next to Theron. Hmm. I've stood in many a shield wall, but not one like this.
Indeed. Let us go forth and conquer. And he's gonna open the door. Or kick it open. Doesn't matter. Actually, he's gonna kick it open.
Yeah, kick the door.
Boom. What's stealth? Oh my god, there's a cow.
You open the door to a grisly scene of a dead cow with hundreds of cockroaches feasting on its body. The smell wafts into your face, and you're like sickened for a moment. Because it's just been caked in this room. And there's blood all over the ground. You can also tell in the rest of the kitchen that all the furniture is like upended. And the place looks like chaos. And then, yeah, there is this dead cow laying here being feasted on by cockroaches. And that is clearly the smoke source of the smell.
I put two fingers on the cow's neck and look up at the group and say, "He didn't make it!"
Sorry.
I put my head in my hands and go,
"Oh, God."
No one said anything about dead cows, man.
Dick house. My contract fucking said. God.
You can also see in the back there's a window broken that looks out into the backyard.
Okay, is light situation, is it light in there? Can we see?
Yes, it's morning. There's plenty of light. The house is dead. Plenty of light.
Windows. Okay.
Yeah, Corbinian wants to move fast because the spell doesn't last for too long. So let's like clear out clear the building.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just move in. Yeah.
When you guys move in, I will take point at the door. Ooh. Okay.
So as you guys enter this room, the cockroaches get agitated. Oh,
good lord.
Oh, no. You are coming after their meal.
No.
And we are going to roll initiative.
Well, boy, that is okay. A giant fucking cockroach. All right,
yeah, that's a cockroach swarm. It looks like
fun times.
Okay, then. I'm going to roll perception, Kel, because I was doing detect magic, but obviously I would have stopped it after I didn't feel anything.
Yeah, do perception because your detect magic wasn't really aiding the situation.
Got it. Cool.
So far, the cockroach is going.
Probably.
Can I manually put this in because I don't have my character stuff?
Yes, I can put it in. Okay. So, yes, yeah. Jed, what did you get?
I rolled a 23.
Jesus Christ.
23. Solid.
Man, that's a good number.
All right. Corbinian, what did you get?
Corbinian got a
23.
And Edmund, what did you get?
12.
And Theron, you got a 10, right?
Yipper.
Pretty bad. All right. So, what happens almost immediately is...
Oh.
They're out of the cow. Two giant cockroaches come crawling out of the gore and viscera.
Oh man.
So they are actually in the swarm, and then there's also the cockroach swarm. So one of the cockroaches is going to take some bites.
Oh boy.
At the one to the north is going to go at Theron. That's the one that's going first. And his first attack is going to be... Where is this? Okay, 18 to hit.
With my... Since I put that shield on before, that is a miss.
Okay. Second attack. That's going to be a 19.
That's still a miss. It gives me a plus 4 AC bonus with that shield or the stone armor.
Okay.
Nice.
Whoa.
It also fucks my speed up quite a bit. So
I have to imagine.
Well, then. Yeah, that makes sense.
This last action, it's going to just scurry to cut you off as you enter to the kind of the northern part of the room. Next is the half iron.
Right. So it's my turn. Yep. Now. Not they were coming. I thought they were coming after me.
Nope. It's your turn. It is your turn.
All right. Cool. So first action, he will do what's called a fortifying knock, where he will trace a rune on his shield, and then raise said shield. And then he is going to strike out with his spear. In what is called an engraving strike. So we'll see if I hit first before we get too far along here.
Which thing are you targeting?
One of the large cockroaches.
This one here?
The rabbit.
Or are you going for the one?
Yeah. Oh, I don't see them. Oh, what the heck? what is this door? My vision is messed up. I don't see them.
Sorry.
There they are. I didn't see them.
They were invisible. There you go.
Yeah, one of them still. One of them still attack. One of them moved. Yeah. Sorry, I thought I talked.
I'll attack the one that's coming out of the swarm first.
Guys, the rat roaches are invisible.
Dear God, they're invisible. All right, so that's going to be a 19 to hit.
That's a hit.
All right, so I will do 1d6. And because it was already etched with a engraved rune of whetstone, it's going to do some bleed damage if that's applicable here. Let me grab my whetstone rune. I'll read that off to you real quick. On a successful strike, weapon deals an additional 2 persistent bleed damage per weapon die, which is just one for now, but that's going to be 6 points of regular damage, 2 points of bleed. And then he is going to engrave a rune on the target called... where is it? Rost Moon. So she comes in. Why don't I see it here? I'm supposed to have a thunder one here. Oh, I'll have to find it. It's a thunder rune that basically, if he does not move... On his next turn, he's going to take 1d4 of electricity. So we'll get to that on his turn.
Okay.
And then he is going to... I got one more action here. I'm going to go ahead and invoke the Rune of Whetstones here, which will do an additional 2d6 damage on a fort save here. Basic fort save on him.
Oh, wow. All right, you need a fort save?
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh no!
The essence of sharpness is released outward from the rune, dealing 2d6 slashing damage to a creature adjacent to the rune bearer.
Well, this is the cockroach closer to you, and it's a little bit slower as it's working its way out of the cow, and it rolled a natural 1.
Oh, nice! Oh,
cool. So double Dan.
So double Dan here. All right. So 14 points of damage from that as well, on top of the initial damage, so...
Wow, you crush its carapace, and this thing's not looking good.
Nice.
You said 14 damage?
Yes, 14 damage.
Okay.
Jed, use Vats.
Basically.
is that your whole turn?
That's my whole turn, yep. Sorry.
Okay. It is Corbinian's turn.
Corbinian is going to move into the building, walking through the swarm. And so 15, 20. And get to the other side of this giant cockroach that dear friend Halfyarn is wailing on. And he's going to raise that wicked looking dagger and slash out. Ugh. I never roll well on attack rolls, and that continues in this campaign. So that's, I'm sure, is a miss with an 11.
Yes, that's a miss.
Yep. And raise my shield. That's my turn.
Alrighty.
Another stunner of a turn from Timmy the player.
That means it's the cockroach swarm's turn. And this thing is going to move up one square. To get Theron as well as the half iron.
Yeah, that's Mean Kelly.
That's what they call a terrible twofer.
You came into its room. You're attacking its meal.
We weren't going to attack the cow. The cow was dead.
I did reach down and put two fingers on its neck to check for a pulse.
Oh, that's true. You did touch it.
Touch. All right. This thing, I only have one, two actions or three actions? I forget.
Definitely two.
It's got all its actions. So one to move, and then it's going to do its swarming bites.
Oh, boy.
Both the half iron and Theron roll a reflex save.
I was hoping it was fortitude.
Oh no, it's not going to. But I just realized with bulwark, I get a +3. Doesn't matter, actually. You add a +3 modifier instead of your dex modifier. So does that mean reflex will go up? Huh? Doesn't matter, it was natural 20.
Hey,
oh, nice. Okay.
Noise. I'm just like, oh, okay. Swarm.
17 for half iron.
17?
Yes.
That is a fail.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
And you'll take max damage for 8 piercing damage as you get swarmed by cockroaches covered in this gory viscera of the cow.
Hell!
Biting into you.
Shouldn't have touched its meal.
And it'll do it again. So roll reflex saves.
Oh boy.
Dude, getting bit by a cockroach is gross.
Yeah.
Like, I've been bitten by, like, you know, horse flies and, you know, all sorts of spiders. Like, no, cockroaches? No thanks.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad time. Yeah, a big old 11.
Another fail. You'll take 5 damage.
Okay.
23.
Success, so you'll take 2.
Ouch. My pride.
Alright.
That's my pride.
And now it is Edmund's turn. You see, you saw them go in, and you just saw this massive black wall of cockroaches swarm the doorway that you're staring into.
Yeah,
as Half-Iron, just as the Half-Iron is the only one that you can really still see, just kind of like gets swarmed and bitten up by these cockroaches.
Yeah, I'm just imagining, so I'm standing outside, and 3 of my friends run in, and I'm just seeing, like, I imagine, like, a tidal wave of just cockroaches going back and forth in the room. So I'm not going in there. I would love to do a cone, but unfortunately 2 of my friends are inside of where I want to do the cone. Could I see the cockroach that is in the back next to Theron?
Yes.
Okay, I want to do a telekinetic projectile against that.
Go for it.
So I grab... Is there a piece of the cow here? Just a little bit of justice.
There's a severed hoof laying on the ground.
We'll stop this guy from the grave, sure.
It behooves you to stop that.
15, unfortunately, so.
Yeah, that's a miss. Alright. And then... I guess... I will go ahead and cast a shimmering shield gets put up in front of me. That's all I got. All
right,
guys, get out of the fucking house.
The other giant cockroach that just made its way out of the cow, he's gonna go right back at it, the half iron, after he got fucking skewered by whatever the fuck he did.
This is not surprising.
That's gonna certainly be a miss. Let's see if it goes again. Another horrible roll. And then its last action. I think it's just gonna move into the corner here.
God
dang it. Scurries over here into a more defensive position away from Corbinian.
As he scurries away, a bolt of lightning does drop from the ceiling right where he was standing from the room.
Oh, fuck. I didn't mean to dodge that intentionally.
No, I know. I just think it's cool that he did actually move and did dodge the strike of lightning.
Yeah.
Cockroaches are survivalists, you know?
Yeah.
They are.
Instinct.
Yeah, they like to stay moving. Now it is Theron's turn.
Okay. Theron, he is... in the swarm and all that stuff. Not fun. Don't like it. He has his left hand and he snaps his finger and it's kind of like a flame conjures out. Almost like he's kind of just comes out of nowhere. And he's going to cast something called Flying Flame, which is a tiny shape of flame appears, taking form of your choice, such as a bird, arrow, or a sphere. And it's going to be almost like a hammerhead, almost like the mace head that he wields, and it's just going to go flying through this cockroach, because unfortunately I don't think it's going to matter if I'm in the swarm. And it's going to have to do a reflex save against it.
Reflex save.
So it's just like this bolt of fire that just kind of passes right through it.
Awful. Just awful roll. 12.
That, I mean, it's a fail, but not a crit. Anyway, 2d6 fire damage. Only 6 points of fire damage. But now he's going to swing out with the mace at this thing now.
So how much damage did you say? 6 or 4?
6. Okay. 6 fire. So I don't know if that does anything better.
Hurts it like all right, fire.
Let's do it. And... that's a 23 to hit with the mace.
23 hits.
Beautiful. And, that's like 4 points of damage. That was a 1 on the fucking die. Right.
When it does that, it recoils from your attack, and it kind of like shudders into its little carapace. You still make full contact on it, though, but it then moves.
Oh, it has an ability.
Whoa.
Foul creature, get back here.
That's it. That's all my actions.
Alright. Top of the turn. And it is that cockroach's turn, the one that just struck, and it is now behind Corbinian.
It's gonna pick up Corbinian and take him away. No,
fly it away. Is it?
Give me back my halfling.
See these nasty mandibles come on out. That will be 20 to hit.
Oh, just there.
I knew it.
I had to choose a dinky buckler that only gives me +1 to AC.
Where's your tower shield?
I thought about a tower shield. I really did.
Right, me too.
The halfling with the tower shield?
Yeah.
Tower shield,
it's a good look. Yeah. It's a good look.
That'll be 3 damage.
So I am going to use my, what do you call it? The thing that is called raised shield.
Shield block.
Yes. I've never used shield block before. Shield block. What do I do? It has a hardness of 5, so none of it goes through.
bites it onto your shield and grabs it and tries to wrench it out, and then it lets go. As it goes again to bite you. To crack die. Table. 14. Assume that misses.
Nope.
Last action, it's going to fly up into the corner of the room.
It's fast.
I was going to say, it's moving a lot, so if we can corner it.
Bugs are fast.
Bugs. Yeah. And now it is the Half Iron's turn.
All right. Half Iron, seeing the wizard in the doorway, knows there's probably something coming for that swarm, so he will step inside here.
Wizard in the doorway sounds like so.
Yes. Yeah.
Wizard in the doorway.
That's the name of a band. That's a metal band name right there.
It's a power ballad right there.
So he'll sidestep, and then he will trace another rune, this time on his spear, as the whetstone rune that he invoked last round made the rune that was on initially fade, so he kind of retraces the rune on there, and with his last action he will stab out at the cockroach in the corner there. Let's see how we do here.
Wizard in doorway and cockroach in the corner.
That's going to be a 20.
20 to hit?
Mm-hmm.
That's a hit.
Alright, cool. And that's going to do 1d6, 2 points of persistence. Did he take bleed on his last round?
How much bleed was he supposed to take?
2 points of bleed from last round, because he gets 2 more this round, okay. On 2 points persistent bleed, and 9 points damage.
So it recoils into its carapace and looks like it's trying to scurry away, but just as it's going to move, crunch, stab it into the ground. Dead.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
How do I make this thing dead?
on the initiative tracker, there should be a little skull there. You could actually just hit that.
That was this one.
Yep.
He did.
Yeah, dead.
Cockroaches can survive nuclear bombs.
Right. Not my spear. Spear. Not my spear.
Not a spear.
All right. Good. One giant cockroach down. And it is Corbinian's turn.
All right. Corbinian, not wanting to waste any more spells, because I just wasted infused vitality on roaches.
Are these undead roaches, by the way?
That's true. Are they undead roaches, Callie?
we didn't.
Maybe
ask.
There's something undead in the other room. You guys haven't gone in there yet.
I know.
Quick, go in there. Quick, go in there.
Turn our combat.
I'm taking a 5-foot step to the northwest, and I'm going to strike out with a wicked dagger. Try to land a hit. Ah, cracked eye.
Sure it is.
Well, this is how you know it's for sure a roll, because it's 17 to hit total. Just rolling terribly.
So it recoils into its carapace, and you strike true, but it assumed its defensive position, and it knocks your dagger away, and then it moves over to the door.
All right. Face shield. I don't have anything.
Okay, and now it is the cockroach swarm's turn. And you're lucky. You're all perfectly aligned that it can only get one of you. So it's just going to keep chomping at Theron.
Since that's fine. Still I got health.
Roll your reflex save.
Reflex. So it
starts to bat you.
20.
That is a success. You'll take half damage. You'll take 1 damage.
Oh, no.
No.
And give me a couple more reflex saves.
Alright. That is a 17.
That's a fail.
Oh, no.
1 damage.
Oh, my God. And 1 more reflex save for the road. 25.
That's a success. It'll take half damage, which will be 3.
Of course. Damn. That's fine. I'm still within my 40s health.
Oh, okay.
I will say I started this adventure with 49 health. I'm at 42 health.
And it comes to Edmund.
So Edmund has the perfect setup, but he is going to wait for Theron to get out of the way. Oh. So he's going to delay his turn until Theron gets out.
Okay. All right. So my Theron's turn, he is going to use all of his one move action, move 10 feet. Because with this armor on, he only has 10 feet of movement.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Yeah, there's eventually, I know, a feat later that allows me to ignore it completely. So.
Oh, okay, well.
But it's actually pretty awesome. And then also each level goes up, like, when it advances, my AC can go up higher and higher with it.
Whoa.
So, god, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Now, Kineticist is kind of fun. So, with one action, he moves, and another action, for the helmet, he will just use that skill he just used again, if I'm assuming I'm using this actually correct, which I believe I am. He's only used Flying Flame again, because it's an impulse, so he can just keep using it, because I was learning through Kineticist that if it says Overflow, then I have to go back into Aura Stance and all that crap. But Flying Flame... It's just an impulse. There's nothing else to it. So make your swarm and that cockroach do a reflex.
Is this an area damage?
Yes. Well, it's a line effect, so I'm assuming so.
Yeah. Line effects are still areas.
Yeah, so.
All right. The cockroach got a 24.
Makes it.
And the swarm Boo. Got an 18.
Swarm fails.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
So that is 6 points of fire damage, so 3 for the giant cockroach.
Alright. You blast a ton of cockroaches away from the swarm. It clearly took extra damage there.
Yes.
Good shit.
You said how much damage was it again? Sorry, 6?
It was 6 total. Okay. So. And that's his turn.
All right, so then Edmund will go now. Kel, do you want me to move? It's a cone, and I know the swarm is big. So, do you want me to get up to the door, or I'm like 5 feet away from the door? Where do you want me?
You don't have to. You don't have to move.
Okay. All right. So it's 15-foot cone. So what happens is Edmund goes into his bag and he takes out a bone. It looks like a chicken bone or maybe like a fox leg bone. And he cracks it and it turns into a bunch of shards. And the shards just go. And he as he casts bone spray.
Nice.
Cool.
Fire bone of torrent jagged bones from your hands, dealing 2d10 piercing damage.
Shoot. This is area, too.
Yes, and it's area, yeah.
So,
and one system bleed.
Right, so, since you're like, 10 feet from this door, it's just like the cone has spread out at this point, and the whole doorway just bones.
Okay, so need the reflex save from the big cockroach.
15 for the cockroach. Natural one for the swarm.
Oh. Welcome to the bone zone.
You're killing it.
I think this is how we end a combat.
I think it's how we end a combat too. So 2d10. So it's gonna be oh my god, 19.
Obliterated.
Oh my god.
I mean, so what happens is these bones come flying through this door, and bug guts just cover Theron and Corbinian. As you launch just literally shredded chunks of cockroach all over the back wall of the kitchen. And the combat is over.
Wow.
And I will say that, Edmund, it wasn't a fox bone. You know, it was a piece of thigh bone from a rotisserie chicken he had the night before.
Yeah.
Like, he was just gnawing on it right before he entered the house. He's just like, oh, shit.
It's like, oh, shit.
Crushing Red Bulls and eating a Sam's Club rotisserie chicken, cramming for whatever dumb assignment you're on.
It was 5 copper pieces, man. I had to get it.
He stole it out of Half Yarn's bag. He had a whole rotisserie chicken in there.
And the bone's all greasy, and he's just like...
Half Yarn sees him throw it, and he's like, wait a minute.
Hold up.
Where did that go?
Oh, nice. Man.
Okay, so, like I said, this kitchen is in complete just chaos. Like, there was clearly struggle here. Everything's all... I mean, there's also a cow in here. Maybe a cow just came in here and died.
That's very strange. Like, a cow in the house?
Yeah. Mm.
Isn't that a Dr. Unless Seuss it was a book?
Cows are weird.
The cows, if they want to get into something, they will get into
something. Yeah, they wander. Like, if there's an open door, they're like, oh, sweet, nice house.
If you want, you guys can continue to search the house if you'd like. Mm. You can also explore the backyard, and you can also investigate the cow, if you'd like.
Yeah, I was going to say, can I investigate it? Any kind of knowledge check that would help me kind of figure out, you know, if it was killed or if it just dropped dead here by
some... Yep, go ahead and roll a medicine.
Okay.
First glance, this thing just looks like it's been chomped to death by cockroaches. It's pretty gross. It's been here a few days.
22 medicine.
All right. Nice. So you're poking at this thing, trying to decipher or discern anything about how it died. And as you get to the head, you realize that the skull has been crunched in, something that would not have been done by cockroaches. Clearly.
Are there any cockroaches with hammers in their hand?
Well, as Corbinian goes around the corner, he gets whacked in the head with a cockroach hammer.
God dang it.
Dang it.
I knew I was
going to have a giant cockroach that's holding a huge mallet for some reason.
It's like a Mario villain.
It's also smoking.
That's my cigarette. Get back.
Some bad roaches.
So clearly the cockroaches did not kill this thing, but found it. Okay. You guys can keep searching around.
So that cockroach was not a real cockroach.
There's no more cockroaches.
Okay, I was worried. He's like, I don't know, the father of all the cockroaches. The Papa Roach, you know?
Papa Roach.
Papa Roach.
Papa Roach.
There
was only 2000. Oh my god.
Tim doesn't even know who that is.
No, I do, actually. I made that joke on purpose.
Give me perceptions. You can give me survival. You've already given me medicine. The rest of the house is... It's empty. There's nothing really going... Like, there's sign that there was struggle, but you don't see any, like, blood or anything in here. But the furniture is out of place. It looks like whoever was in here left in a serious hurry. But you can give me some checks if you'd like.
22 on perception, just as I'm looking through. I'm just looking for, you know, details, clues of any kind.
Okay. Anybody else?
Looking for
perception,
valuables.
Survival, 19. Anything like that?
I'll just do perception, because I don't really have much else.
What would you say, Tim?
I'm looking for valuables for 19.
Okay.
16 perception. He's just looking for any signs of undeath.
And Half Iron, would you roll any perception or survival?
I'm going to roll a perception to look for reading materials, journals, anything like that. I'm looking for a Resident Evil journal, and I rolled a 20.
We have created this giant cockroach. Oh no, it escaped.
I keep feeding the cow methamphetamines. I hope he doesn't kill me later.
The cow.
Oh no, the cow.
Oh no, the cow escaped. Exactly.
The cow escaped.
Yeah.
Cow escaped. He's got a hammer. Yeah.
I love that.
That's how the roach got
it. Jake, real quick, what was your medicine value again?
Was
it 22 or is it higher?
20 something.
Was it 27?
20. No, I think 22 or 24.
Okay.
I think it was.
That's fine. Did you give me a roll, Half Iron?
Yeah, 20, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. You don't find anything valuable in this house. They took whatever they clearly took anything that might have been valuable. It's also just a crappy farmhouse in the country. They probably didn't have much anyway.
Including the hammer.
They didn't read.
Crappy farmers.
They didn't have any books, they don't read.
Ugh.
Well, they don't know how to read. Are there any public programs in here that we should sign? You know, like to, you know, the give free books to kids or something like that?
I mean, if that's something you want to start when you get back to True Now, books for farmers, go for it.
Books for yeah. farmers.
But, books for farmers.
BFFs. BFFs. Sponsor a BFF today.
You can, when Edmund's tasked with manning the local NPR station, he can launch Books for Farmers.
Oh my god, he would love an NPR station.
Oh my god, he'd be like, smoking so much.
Fucking idiots at the top. Like, dude, can you stop smoking in the studio?
Just ash is going right into the microphone.
Right in the mic.
Oh, right, well. Putting it out on the mic.
Just get the sound.
All right, well, you don't really find anything else in here. This cow was killed by something, but you haven't found anything that would lead you to any clues as to what would have caved his skull in.
Let's check around the house.
Yeah. Check out back.
Yeah, if you guys want to roll some checks for outside, that's fine too.
Yeah, sure.
Is this like water around here?
Yeah, it's just like a little creek.
Ooh, I got 26.
Ooh, damn, son.
Okay.
He did the best out of all of us then.
So yep. Yeah, you did because I did not roll good.
18.
Huh. 11.
All right, so you all are heading out to. You get go out back. There's a pen where this cow used to live, clearly. The half iron finds something laying in the grass. Right around probably the top corner of the house.
Okay.
You see something in the overgrown grass, and you pick it up, and it is a bloody human tooth.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, that ain't right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a tooth. Nothing else. Any blood, viscera, anything else around it. Nope, just
a bloody human tooth.
Bloody crack tooth. Was it ripped out by the root?
Yeah. Ripped out by the root.
Ooh.
That's not good.
Root and all. Smells awful. It smells really, really bad.
Ugh.
Dead tooth. Does it look cracked? Like, does it look like it was punched out? Is there a way that I can try to like figure that out to see if it was like
not cracked? Looks like it just rotted out.
That's not good.
The roots are all.
It's like these farmers. Might need.
Farmers need books. They need dental.
Dental insurance. That'd be good for them.
But okay, that's it. That's all you find.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, what if we go back to the road and stuff like that? I do would just like, I guess, just keep a sharper eye out for anything that, like, you know, if we're coming up to more houses or something like that, I want to make sure that, like, keeping a sharper eye out for any pest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you can see Corbinian. He seems a little like agitated, frustrated from this experience. What are we doing here? We need to keep moving.
And it was kind of like before he goes onto the horse, like, you could just see, like, all that stone armor just kind of sloughs off of him. And he just rolls his shoulders back, just kind of like feeling like a huge weight lifted off of him. All right, let's keep going.
Aye.
So you guys...
Climb back up.
You guys continue, find you're kind of on like a little trail, and it starts to kind of descend as the terrain starts to get a little more hilly, as it feels like you are starting to start sloping down, and eventually the path turns and you can tell this is the entryway into the valley, as it narrows into a very narrow winding path down into this valley.
As you keep walking and the rain just keeps picking up, you know you're getting close to your destination, and we'll pick it up here next time.
Man.
That's where the stinger was. The stinger was marching to the valley of the dead. Yep.
Hey there, everybody. Jake the GM here to bring you some exciting news for our friends over at MistyMountainGaming.com. They are having an official Paizo and Misty Mountain Gaming collaboration launch party here soon. Head on over to MistyMountainGaming.com and sign up to enter for a free set of Pathfinder or Starfinder dice. That Starfinder dice set you will want when Starfinder 2E comes out. Make sure to lock it in now. Head on over there right now. Check out the other stuff. Remember to always use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout for 10% off. And I will see you in the next episode.